Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield and I'm thrilled you're joining me on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great week. 5 days from Christmas. I love Christmas. Ridiculous romantic about Christmas. And I love the fact also that we're talking about the love of God. And I got to tell you, I really admire Derek Prince for foraging into topics in the scriptures that hardly anybody else wanted to deal with. You know, Derek wanted to know the will of God, the whole counsel of God. And even if a topic was troubling or difficult, he'd storm right into it and explore it and then teach it to us so that we could get comfortable with it and get over our issues of embarrassment and concern. The topic he's going to be talking about today is the law and the love of God. And it's not a topic you hear taught about very much, because in today's church, in the world, Christian world today, we're very skittish about law. We're very skittish about standards. But you know, the New Testament says, and this is the love of God, that we obey His commandments. Clearly, there's an ethical and obedience orientation or element to love. I love the fact that in the writings of John, we constantly hear, and here is how the love of God is allowed to run its full course, that we obey His commandments. There's some kind of connection between these two. Let's listen to how Derek develops this so that we can live it out in this series called The Love of God.
Today I'm going to focus on the relationship between love and the law, which is a very important theme that has much about it in the Bible. Many people are perplexed or frightened by the thought of the law. And yet the basic purpose of the law is very simple. Love is the end of the law. Let's look at something that Jesus said about this in Matthew chapter 23, verses 35 through 40. We read where Jesus is questioned by an expert in the law, that's the law of Moses, and how Jesus answered. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus didn't hesitate. He came out with a very clear, definite answer. But then he went on, and the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he commented, All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The two commandments are, Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, All the law and the prophets, that's what we would call the Old Testament, hang on these two commandments. Now, I'm a simple-minded person, and I take things, you know, practically and simply. Let me imagine that I want to hang my jacket on a peg. If I'm going to hang my jacket on the peg has to be there before I hang the jacket on. So if the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, then these two commandments are primary. The law and the prophets are secondary. In other words, the basic issue in the law is love for God and love for a neighbor. Now, often people think there was a tremendous switch in what God wanted between the Old Testament and the New. In the New Testament, God wants love, but in the Old Testament, it was something different. This is really a complete mistake. God has always wanted love. He wanted love for God and love for the neighbor under the law. Under the New Testament, again, the primary requirement is love. What changed between the Old Testament and the New was not God's objective, but the means to achieve the objective. The law failed to achieve this objective, not because there was anything wrong with the law, as Paul is very careful to point out, but because there's something wrong with human nature. This is stated by Paul in Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature of man, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So the law couldn't do it because of the weakness of sinful man. So God had to make a sacrifice that dealt with man's sin and his weakness, removed this obstacle, and permitted the love of God generated by the new birth to flow through the people who had been born again. But the end purpose of the New Testament is precisely the same as the end purpose of the Old. I think both under the Old Testament and under the New, multitudes of God's people lost sight of the real objective and became very confused and uncertain. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, Paul states the objective of the gospel message and ministry as clearly as it could be stated. 1 Timothy 1, verses 5 through 7. But the goal of our instruction is love. Notice that the goal of our instruction as ministers of the gospel is love. And then he lays down certain basic requirements for love. 3, from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Those are three things that are needed if we are to have the kind of love that God wants in our lives. A pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. These are produced by the gospel. But the end is love. And then Paul goes on to say, for some men straying from these things, that's love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. So if we ever turn aside in our teaching or our ministry from the ultimate objective of producing God's love in the lives of the people to whom we minister, all we end up is fruitless discussion. The King James Version uses a very vivid phrase, vain jangling. Our preaching, our ministry, our activities just become a lot of empty noise. They accomplish nothing of permanent value. I believe as Christians, we all have to face this challenge. I certainly do in my own life. From time to time, I ask myself, what is my ministry producing? First and foremost, in me, and then in those to whom I minister. If it doesn't ultimately produce love, everything I'm doing is wasted effort.
You know, I have to say that when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, and all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, it's almost confusing, isn't it? I read the law, I read the prophets, I sometimes am tempted to see an angry, harsh God laying out requirements and then smacking people around because they weren't obedient. But you know what? He was simply trying to show us the way of love. That's what Jesus said, and he had to know. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
As 2006 draws to a close, all of us at Derek Prince Ministries want to remind you of two things. First, we want to express once more how much we have appreciated your friendship and partnership over this past year. Your faithfulness has allowed us to continue the work Derek Prince started and helped many people discover the amazing Bible teaching he brought us. Second, we would be remiss if we didn't remind you that there are only a few weeks remaining in this tax year. It's about this time each year, we hear from a lot of friends of Derek Prince Ministries as they make special year-end gifts. They tell us they'd rather see the resources God has given them go into His kingdom rather than into the coffers of the IRS. Put another way, they'd rather render a little less to Caesar and a little more to God. Of course, the real beneficiaries are those touched and changed by God's truth because of your generosity. Take a few moments today to send your special year-end gift. Simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. As you give, please know that through your connection to Derek Prince Legacy Radio, you are a part of something truly amazing. Also know that you have our gratitude. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us online at derekprince.org. Thanks again, and may 2007 be a year of great blessing and fruitfulness for you.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and if you're joining us on this Wednesday, perhaps you already know that we're in a powerful transforming series taught by Derek Prince on the topic of the love of God. And I'm very excited about what Derek's about to discuss, because he's going to talk to us about how the love of God frees us from the restraint of any other kind of law. That's something I want to hear. Let's listen as Derek teaches us the love of God.
I want to look now at two beautiful phrases that James uses in his epistle about love, because I believe these two phrases give us a very wonderful insight into what love is and what it will do. The first phrase is found in the epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 25, where James says this: "The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." The perfect law that gives freedom. You may wonder what that law is, but if you go on a little further, James himself makes it plain. In the same epistle of James, chapter 2, verse 8, James says this: "If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right." There, the phrase that James uses is the royal or the kingly law, and he specifies it: love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the kingly law. Love is the perfect law that gives freedom. Let's look at three phrases briefly that James uses. He calls it the perfect law. In other words, it includes everything. It omits nothing. If you keep that law, it'll take care of every aspect and every requirement of God. Second, it's the law that gives freedom. You see, if you are really motivated by sincere love, you'll always be able to do what you want. Paul says against that kind of fruit, the fruit of love, there is no law. You don't need to be restrained by any other law, because love always does the right thing. And then he calls it the royal law. It's the kingly law. When you walk in the law of this divine love for God and for your neighbor, you're living like a king. There is no substitute for love. Let me say that again. There is no substitute for love. I'll turn to the epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to begin right at the end of chapter 12, verse 31, and read on into chapter 13, through verse 3. Chapter 13 is the chapter that is often called the love chapter. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul endorses the exercise of spiritual gifts. He says, "Eagerly desire the greater gifts." That's really not an option. It's a command. The Bible doesn't leave it open to us whether we desire spiritual gifts. We are instructed to desire spiritual gifts as Christians. But Paul goes on to warn that without something else, spiritual gifts in themselves cannot achieve the purpose of God. What is the something else? Paul calls it the most excellent way, and it is love. Now I'll read on. Paul says, "Now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." There are some very tremendous statements there that we need to give heed to. Paul goes on in the context of his teaching about spiritual gifts, and he gives examples in the first three verses of chapter 13, which essentially cover the three main recognized areas of spiritual gifts. That is, gifts of utterance, gifts of revelation, and gifts of power. The gifts of utterance are covered in verses 1 and 2, where Paul speaks about the tongues of men and of angels and the gift of prophecy. And he says, even with all those gifts, if they are exercised without love, The result is simply that a person is a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, a lot of noise, but nothing real inside. Then he goes on with the gifts of revelation, and he covers this with, I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. But he says, if I have all that and I don't have love, I am nothing. And then he goes on to the area of the exercise of the gifts of power. And he gives an example of the supreme gift of power, faith. He says, I have the greatest kind of faith, the faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. In this passage at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul not merely speaks about the exercise of all spiritual gifts and says that without love they are all empty or nothing, but he also speaks about the utmost kind of good deeds. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor, and I surrender my body to the flames, I'm willing to die as a martyr, an agonizing death, and I have not love, I gain nothing.
You know, I don't think I've ever heard a sermon before that told me that I could live like a king if I would do certain things. But of course, that's the promise of the Scriptures, that we can live like King Jesus if we will learn to walk in the love of God. Boy, what a powerful and transforming truth this is. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Salvation. What does this familiar word really mean? The forgiveness of sins? The ticket to heaven? As wonderful as these definitions are, there is much more to salvation than most believers know. Now, in a powerful little booklet entitled Complete Salvation, Derek Prince reveals how the work Jesus did on the cross made a way for all to experience a great, glorious, and complete salvation. In it, you'll discover what salvation truly is and show you the steps you can take to receive and enjoy all of its benefits, both now and for eternity. To order your copy, Complete Salvation, free and postage paid, simply call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Hopefully you've been with us for the whole last week and a half where we've been talking about the love of God and listening to Derek break out these powerful truths. If you haven't been able to join us, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org and you'll find that all of these teachings are there along with a whole host of material that'll help you grow in your Christian life. Let's get to it, because there's some powerful stuff yet to come as Derek teaches us on the love of God.
No matter what we may do in the realm of supernatural gifts or in the realm of self-sacrifice and giving ourselves, our substance, our very lives, all of it without love is ineffective. How earnestly we all need to take this to heart. I can confess that looking back over my own ministry, there have been times when I've allowed myself to be diverted from the real issue, which is love. And I've taught and exercised on spiritual gifts, and yet at times my own life has been lacking in love. I've been critical of other Christians. I've maybe been somewhat proud and arrogant because of my spiritual gifts. And I have missed the real purpose of God at times. And I have to state frankly, as I look at the body of Christ, Christians worldwide, I think the greatest single deficiency is love. If we had this divine love, we would not treat one another the way we so often do. We would not make accusations. We would not be critical. We would not be jealous. We would not tear one another down. We would build one another up. That's one of the things that Paul says about love. Love edifies. It builds up. It doesn't pull down. It's not negative. So often we can use our cleverness and our gifts and our talents destructively. But love is never destructive. It's always positive. It's always edifying. That's why there is no substitute for love. May every one of us continually keep this in mind. Let me say it once more. There is no substitute for love. There is one more extremely important thing that I need to say in this connection, and it is this. The kind of love that we are talking about comes only from one thing in our lives, and that is faith. You see, some people tend to exalt love at the expense of faith. Their attitude is, the only thing that matters is love. Don't talk to me too much about faith. But that's illogical and inconsistent. Not that love isn't the supremely important thing, but because love of this kind can come into our lives and be expressed through us only by faith. Faith is the essential prerequisite for enjoying and manifesting this kind of love. There's no other way to reproduce God's love but by God's faith. So if we just keep on telling people, you must be loving, you must love one another, but we do not put in their hands the key of faith, then we just frustrate them. One thing I will tell you is you cannot have God's love by trying. In fact, in general, love does not come by trying. This is a simple but very profound fact. Suppose I were to say to my dear wife, I'm really trying to love you. Do you think she'd appreciate that? I don't. Why not? Because trying to love a person is really a confession that you don't love them. And trying to love people generally is a confession we don't have the love of God. It does not come by trying. How does it come? By faith. Faith, if it's God's faith, through the new birth, releases in our hearts and lives the love of God, and there is no other way to that love.
You know, Derek is emphasizing the love of God so strongly that some of us might wonder if it's almost not outside of biblical boundaries. But I want to remind you of a scripture. The book of Galatians says, nothing matters except faith working by love. Nothing matters except faith working by love. You know, remember now that faith is taking hold of the invisible. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. You know the great definition from Hebrews. And the love of God, of course, is that agape, unconditional surrendering of ourselves for the good of others. And so when you put that together, God is saying nothing matters except taking hold of the invisible resources of God and the invisible provision of God and the service of others and committing ourselves to others. You know, I have a phrase that I often use as I teach people, and it's this. You have a destiny, but your destiny is fulfilled by investing in the destinies of others. And this teaching on love is very much connected to that. God loves you, but God loves you and therefore calls you to invest your life lovingly in others. You know, Winston Churchill said it very, very well. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And really, I think a lot of people in this world have a living, but they don't really have a life worth living because they haven't really given their lives to others, motivated by the love of God. Listen, there is a booklet we want you to have that stresses these themes and shows us how Jesus was the ultimate example of all of these truths of self-sacrifice that Derek is talking about and that the love of God really means. It's called Complete Salvation, and it's available to you absolutely free as a gift if you log on to the website at derekprince.org or call at 1-800-448-3261. Again, the booklet is Complete Salvation. You can get it on the website at derekprince.org or call us at 800-448-3261. We want to see these truths embedded in your life so that you can live the Christ life in this generation. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure and join us again tomorrow when my guest in the studio is going to be Phil Keggy, the amazing and legendary Christian musician and guitarist. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment now to request your free copy of Derek's powerful booklet, Complete Salvation. It's our gift to you, free and postage paid. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And when you call, please consider a special end-of-year gift to Derek Prince Ministries of $25 or more. Your gift will further the reach of Derek Prince Legacy Radio
and you'll receive the tax benefit for this year. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And remember, you can send your financial support securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.